Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one half of your trivia hosts, Mark Davis, and across from me is the other half,
Lee Breschneider, Quizmaster.
How does that feel?
Good. Yeah. Thanks for taking it. You came with the energy tonight, so I appreciate you taking the lead.
Lee, my phone's at 35%, but I'm at 100%, baby.
Good.
I came fucking armed for bear. I'm wired for sound. I'm ready to fucking go.
You've been doing music stuff all night, right?
Yes.
I've been doing trivia stuff.
Okay.
I came off a gig.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was your gig?
It was good. It was really busy. 12 teams tonight.
Jeez-em.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, for my venue, means every seat was packed, basically, at number three.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a bit of a cutthroat night. We'll get to it in the weekly wrap-up. But I enjoyed watching the teams jockey, you know, for the victory.
Love it.
So, it was good. We had some new teams, some old favorites, some people that, you know, are part-time residents here in Southwest Florida coming back.
Good.
You know, getting back in the swing of things.
Good.
So to speak.
I like what I hear.
Yeah. So you're very excited, I know, because you have a bunch of questions you've been meaning to ask for weeks now, but we've just had guests from nice guys like Skylar and Greg.
Yeah. I'm also excited because I just came here from finalizing the new Exploding Pages CD.
Oh, yeah. I heard you on WGCU, by the way. So we'll post a link to that, the live in-studio performance.
Thank you.
You guys just did.
So I'm like, we have it, like everything is chopped up and sent off to be mastered. So I'm riding that high because we've been working on this album for like 3 years or something.
So you're not touching any of it again now. It's done.
Done.
Nice.
Even if someone
Let's
called
cheers.
Me. Oh.
I got a note soda here.
It's a late night thing. There it is. It was a real cheers. Now, you didn't hear a clink because I have a McDonald's cup.
Yes.
And he has a glass bottle. Also,
a McMuffy.
Just so we kept the morning mindset, I brought him a McMuffy.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can hear the crinkle.
Hear the crinkle?
Not brought to you by McDonald's. Hashtag not an ad.
Not ad.
I figured that, you know.
It smells good.
Yeah. And it looks good. I went there and I saw the signage and it. And he may not he may use the
we'll wait for the break to bust
okay.
into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so your trivia has been going good.
Trivia has been good. Yep. Just
checking in with
riding
you here.
The wave.
Good.
Yeah. Had a return of Pootie Tang this week.
Woo!
Which we'll talk about in the weekly wrap up.
The professor was joined by his students.
Thinking about mixing something up. Greg had a suggestion.
Oh yeah.
I have a feeling that having him here.
Yeah, got him stoked.
Kind of got him like going on the Quizmaster train. Now his brain's working.
Yeah, so I loved his questions.
Let me
he
bounce this idea off of
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Second round.
Yep.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
I will let them know, Final Jeopardy style, what category the question's going to be in.
Yeah,
and at the bottom of the first round answer sheet. They will write a wager down based on the category.
Ooh, a mid-game wager.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 10 points.
Yeah.
And then we get to the last question in the second round. They've already wagered. They answer the question. No matter what they put, the wager's already in, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, you know, it'll probably be semi, you know, music, maybe indie music or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of mix it up a little bit.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. It's very unique. I don't think there's another trivia around here that does a mid-game wager with a known category ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah.
From the get-go, I wanted to do something where someone put in a wager before they heard the question.
Yeah.
I've loved that idea of that Final Jeopardy idea of you know what it's going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just kind of betting on your knowledge of this
idea,
you know, of this category.
Yeah.
Your knowledge of this category.
And
but
it was
kind of like, how in the hell do you do it?
Yeah. I did do a mid-game wager at the Star Wars trivia that I hosted.
Yeah. How'd that go?
So that was, here's the thing. Star Wars, it's so broad that basically I felt like I needed to do two quizzes in order to cover everything. So what I did was I slightly adjusted the format, but we did two quizzes in 2 hours. So it was over 100 questions in 2 hours. So I gave the teams three rounds in a row without a break in the first hour. So about 45 minutes of questions, which was about it was 21 on mic questions with a mid wager. You know, you could wager on the last on the 21st question. And three bonus round sheets as well for that first round. So that was about 50 question items total. And then we did the whole thing for the second. And I went in chronologically in from the story. So we started with the prequel trilogy, moved into the original trilogy, and then the new sequel trilogy, peppering in questions about Clone Wars and Rogue One and Solo, as well as all the behind the scenes stuff and memes where appropriate as well. Jeez. I feel like we covered a lot of it, basically. So
it's incredible.
It was awesome. And the teams were like super into it that were there. And, you know, some other players came up and said, like, we just love the way that you write questions. It's great. We love coming to your trivia and stuff like that. So
it's a good
thing. It was awesome. So really happy about that. We've got some more themed events I'm going to share in just a few minutes.
Nice.
After our weekly wrap up. Shall we get started?
Please. Let's.
Okay. As I mentioned, on Saturday, January 25th, we had our Star Wars trivia at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar. Several teams duked it out, over 100 Star Wars questions. Two teams stood out ahead of the pack, those being, are we the only ones in costume? They were the only ones in costume. They looked awesome. Biggest quizmaster fail on my part, I did not get a single photo of them, despite the fact that they were dressed so amazingly. There was like 7 lightsabers. It was like a 7-player team. They each had a lightsaber.
Wow.
I'm not sure that everybody was in costume, but there was a Sith Lord. There was a Rey costume. They looked great. And then the other team was Max Rebo Groupies. Max Rebo Groupies taking the quiz with 211 points total. Shout outs to Bantha Fodder and Trivia Newton John for their efforts there.
I love how Trivia Newton John didn't change their name at all.
Yeah, they didn't theme it.
Good on them.
But yeah, that's they're staying true. Monday, January 27th, 2020, we held No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 266 at the Palace. Trivia Newton John and House Snow took the second and third rounds respectively, but it was a show of force by a team named Is It Still a DUI If Jesus Takes the Wheel? The answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
They won the first round and overall prize with a final score of 64 points. Mark, how did your team do on Wednesday?
I just
want to
say, just technically, we're not lawyers.
Uh-huh.
But I think we can still go ahead and say that, yes, that's probably still a DUI.
Yeah, I don't think you can say, Jesus is my co-pilot. I've got the bumper sticker. I'm good to go. Ain't going to work.
Probably not going to work.
It ain't going to work.
Okay, definitely not going to work.
Don't do it.
Well, as you know, I know you've had this happen to you before where you make a round and then you realize after you get all the answer sheets that the round was a lot harder than you thought it was than you thought it was going to be.
Oh yeah.
This was my first round answers. My first round points. 0, 0, 0, 9, 13, 8, 3, and 16, 10, 6, 0. So lots of zeros.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems like you had about like half of the teams knew a little at least. Half the teams didn't know anything.
The winning team,
a few outliers.
The winning team was a team called Juffers, who played just the first round. They were a team of middle-aged people that left before they even got there. They were like, we're just going to play one round.
Now, when you say middle-aged, do you mean Generation X or Baby Boomer?
I'm talking Baby Boomer.
Okay. Early BB?
No, late BB.
Late BB?
Well, mid to late BB.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Silver Foxes.
I see.
They left. I read all the answers and I said Juffers and they weren't there.
They so, won?
Yes.
And they left.
And they left.
They had enough.
Done. Goodbye.
Early bedtime.
They won 16 points. There were teams that got 0 points. They got 16 points.
They were in it for the glory, not the prize.
They were in it because they were drunk and their Uber probably showed up. So they were just like, well, time to go. So the prize fell to, don't worry, it's just a Corona Light, with 13 points. The prize fell to them. That was Jamie and Fletcher and Kristen and company. the second round, and ultimately the second round, I can't remember who the hell won it, but who cares? Because second round, you know, you get a shirt or whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Well, second round deserves something. Come on.
Actually, I think it might have been the same team. I think it was probably, don't worry, it was just a Corona Light. And ultimately, Pootie Tang took the last round. Oh, no.
No?
The second round was won by... Hold on. Let me get the team name. Let me get the team name up. Was run by Mark Davis's bat stew recipe is responsible for coronavirus. They won the second round with 24 points. Really had a big upswing there.
Sounds like Tom Collins was on that team.
Yeah.
Talking some shit.
Yes, absolutely.
Damn.
But ultimately, the winners were Pootie Tang, who came back and won the night with 38 points. Got the last question right. And they finally got their stuff together and came in and helped Professor Pootie get his shit together. And together they took the night.
What a day.
I know.
Well, on Thursday, January 30th, we had No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 267 and number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. Had a 90s alternative rock guitar intro song ID quiz. Oh. 10 guitar intros. Name the artist.
I want to do this song for Patreon.
Okay, sure. Okay. We'll do it. Okay. We also had a World Dictators quiz. It was a cutthroat night. Several teams, several strong teams in attendance. Shout out to Trivial Mercenaries and Uno Cat Beer Chickens. They performed pretty well overall. Trivia Newton John was in the house as well. They've been on a tear lately. Guess coming so. To trivia. As You Wish took the first round. The Squeaky Chairs took the second round. But none could stop As You Wish from a third round victory, as well as the top final score of the quiz. They got 99 points, but a quiz ain't won.
Ooh,
so congratulations to them. And your winners, Mark, if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks,
tell them how.
You have some opportunities to do so. First, February 3rd, 2020, we'll have No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 268 at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral, Florida, with free bottles of wine for our round winners. Nickel City Red Hots will be in the house serving up some delicious food.
That beef on whack.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Here's what we're going to be asking about on Monday at the Palace.
Tell me.
Candy. Philadelphia Sports, The Office, Taylor Swift, SpaceX, Super Bowl Trivia, Friends, the television series, Super Nintendo, and The Sopranos will be our final category.
Friends, the television series, yeah. Not to be confused with
your friends.
People that you're buddies with. Man, I came in here with all this information about Roger, just hoping that you would ask me questions about him. But here you are asking me about Lisa Kudrow.
Some would like that. On February 5th, 2020, go to Cape Coral at 9 p.m. and play Mark Davis's trivia at Nice Guys Pizza.
That was my mommy's birthday. Big ups.
February 5th.
Yeah.
Mark's mom's birthday.
There
come celebrate it. We'll toast her. Yeah. And are you going to be doing a... to your mother? Are we going to be doing the wager question on that evening? Are you going to do it? The mid.
We think we may drop it or some version of it at the 6-year anniversary. So we got some time.
Okay, so not this week then.
Right.
Okay. On February 6th, we'll be doing No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 269 at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. Categories 269. Nice. The categories for the quiz will include, and I guarantee it this time.
Hold on. There's only one thing better than 69.
70.
269.
Oh, 269. You're right.
Two of them.
Very good.
Hello.
NCAA football, dog breeds, medical trivia, kids in the hall. I'm squishing your head.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Geography, 90s music, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about Taco Bell, selected by Moisty Swell.
Gross.
Swell, the name.
Terrible.
And then we've got some theme trivia to announce, Mark. February 29th, it's 80s music trivia at number 3. We're taking it to the max.
quizzing you on your ability to identify artists and songs from the 80s, as well as a full quiz of trivia about the decade in music. It's an all-80s music trivia February 29th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral from 6 to 8 p.m. Stick around for my wife, Kyle Ann, who will be playing a set of originals and covers afterwards. Then, on March 28th, 2020, get ready for Quizmania Wrestling Trivia at Number 3. We'll be entering the world of the squared circle, covering all decades, eras, and promotions, including the history of professional wrestling, the titles, controversies and catchphrases, famous finishers, tag teams, stables and families, behind the scenes, lost moves, goofs, wrestle crap, and more.
Kayfabe.
It's Quizmania, the no-nonsense trivia challenge pro wrestling edition, March 28th, 2020, at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, also from 6 to 8 p.m. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the no-nonsense events
the internet, are maybe free to play,
and you can win prizes after every round. Brother, join us, won't you?
Yeah, dig it!
Very good.
Thank you. That is the I used to pride myself on a macho man.
I can tell. I can tell.
Pride myself. You don't understand. You were going to cheers me again, weren't you?
I was.
You yeah. looked like you were going to cheers me, but you were like, that's too much.
We'll
too many
one
cheers.
More. We'll do one more. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's cheers as we take a break. I'm going to tear into this McMuffy.
And then we're going to come back for the first round of trivia questions.
What a great break.
Whoa.
I'm glad we got to talk about Awkwafina and Kyle getting Kevin Smith retweeting Kyle's tweet about me being disappointed in his
stuff.
Movie. Go check out our Patreon if you want to hear us talk about that stuff. But now it's time to get down to business.
Neat. Brass tacks, if you will.
Yes. Trivia.
Trivia.
Is the matter at hand.
Yes. As it always is. Would you like me to go first?
I know these questions have been burning a hole in your shorts.
Well, I got some questions for you, Daddy.
Then bring me one. Let's kick it off.
Pago Pago. Ooh. Pago Pago is the capital of what U.S. territory? We recently talked about U.S. territories. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Made me think about U.S. territories.
Mm-hmm.
Pago Pago is the capital of one. What U.S. territory is it?
Pago Pago.
Pago Pago. My nose is runny. I got cough.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm sorry. I feel bad that the people have to hear like the noises. I'm self-conscious that I sound stuffed up.
We had a lot of early comments in our early days.
Oh, back
people
then
were docking
with the
us stars. On I the
remember.
Reviews. They
Four
docked
stars.
Us a star.
Why would you
this
dock
man
us a star?
Is
what
ill.
Happened?
You're going to dock him?
God, guys, let me be sick.
All the best to you, man. Pago Pago.
That's why I love you, because you take care of me. You watch out for me. Of course, I would
man.
Cheers you, but
yeah.
You know.
We're doing air cheers now. We don't have to keep leaning.
Just consider my heart always cheersing you.
Pago Pago. I have no idea.
Okay.
U.S. territory.
Yep.
Good Guam? Story. Is it Guam?
That's incorrect.
Wrong.
The correct answer is American Samoa.
American Samoa. Okay.
Pago Pago.
You've asked about that particular territory on the podcast before, too.
Mm.
Not that question, though.
Yes. Well, just in time for the cookies.
Yes.
And Girl Scouts.
And I did not forget about my trivia players this Girl Scout cookie season. Let me just say that. If you're coming to the No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks in February, I got you guys. I ordered extra.
This man like mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I literally, I ordered extra of every single box. So you will have your pick, the winning teams. So time to get stoked on that. American Samoa. Daddy. Okay. American Pago Samoa. Pago.
Yep.
Good Pago to know.
Squared.
Good to know now. I have a Super Bowl question for you.
Hit me with it.
Yeah. So the Super Bowl will have happened by the time this episode airs.
Yeah, it'll mm-hmm. let, wow, what a Super Bowl yesterday, huh?
Incredible.
Wow.
Yep. So I don't know. Maybe they'll talk about this. Maybe they won't. But you, I don't know. Maybe you know this. I'm curious to see if you know this. What team has the most consecutive Super Bowl appearances? Comprised? Well, do you just want to take it there and I can give you the second half? Do you want to chew on that?
I want you to give it to me the way you gave it to your players.
Okay. What team has the most consecutive Super Bowl appearances comprised of four losses from 1990 to 1993?
Okay, this was going to, they were going to be my guess anyway.
Okay.
There's actually a really, really, I've talked, I'm sure, about the 30 for 30 series on
well,
this
let's
podcast.
Well, let's get the answer out of the way first.
The answer is the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Greg Gebhard, our guest last week, is a huge Buffalo Bills fan. And I was telling him about there's a 30 for 30 series, or 30 for 30 is a series, a docuseries done by ESPN Films, which is outrageously good. And even if you don't like movies or sports, there's something in there for you. And there's a movie called The Four Falls of Buffalo that are about the four losses.
I see.
And it is really, really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a, you know, and as a Patriots fan, I feel like everybody who likes football hates everyone in their division, but usually everyone has a soft spot for one team. There's one team where they're like, oh, they ain't so bad. You mm-hmm. know, as a Patriots fan, I don't like the Dolphins. I can't stand the Jets. The Bills, you know, they're just kind of like, they kind of get in their own way and they're kind of like, you know, bumbly and like they're jumping on fucking tables and stuff. And you're like, oh, pat him on the back, like big old lug. Like, what are you doing?
Interesting.
You're crazy, you know? So I still think it's an amazing feat to get to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. It's hard to do. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the thing. It's the most consecutive appearances. So that in and of itself is an achievement.
Right.
Question acknowledges that. They just happen to be comprised of four losses, you know, which is a defining characteristic. Makes that question a little bit easier because it's like another notable fact.
Right.
You know.
You should watch that movie. It's good. Here's your second question. What was the shortened name of April and Andy's baby on Parks and Recreation? First and last name.
The shortened name.
Yes.
I have no
idea.
The
long name would be impossible.
I'm not sure.
Do you remember the last name? Start there.
His name is Dwyer, and her name is Ludgate. So did they, like, combine their names? They seem like they would do some crazy shit like that. Like, be like Dwygate or
I will
like
let
that.
You know that it is Dwyer.
Okay.
So you're now halfway there.
Mm-hmm. Dwy. So Dwy must be the second shortened.
No. Dwyer is the last name.
Right. So I'm saying it's the second.
Oh, so, okay. You said Dwy, and I was like, no, I don't mean like
Dwy Mark.
Dwyer.
Dwy. Okay. No. So is it, maybe it's Guy Dwy? I really don't know. Is this in the last season? I'm not sure I even saw the whole show all the way to completion.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well. Do you want me to ask you another question then?
I was going to. I mean, sure.
Okay. But I'll ask you another question. I'll just tell you.
I'm just going to be.
The full name is Bert Snakehole Ludgate Karate Dracula Macklin Demon Jack-O-Lantern Dwyer. That's his full name, but they call him Jack Dwyer.
Jack Dwyer. Okay. Yeah,
Jack for short.
Reminds me of Jack Bauer from 24.
Yeah,
that also reminds me of a Dane Cook joke. Remember when he was talking about naming his kids like all sorts of crazy names?
Oh yeah.
It's kind of the same joke.
I can see that. What art term comes from the French word for pasting?
Hmm. I mean, I want to say pastel, pasting. I might overthink it a little bit, though. I might be doing that. Pasting. Like, I'm thinking about pasty art and paper mache. Mache is kind of like a paper paste. You use a paste when you make mache. But I don't think mache... Mache probably means, like, model or something like that. Even though paste is involved, I don't think it's... Pastel just seems so obvious, and I just don't know that you would ask that. Pasting. Pastiche? Art term. You said art term. Pastiche. Technically an art term. There's where you're making like a copy, basically, of another work. Paste. Like copy paste, you know? Because pastel, you're not really pasting anything with that. It's like a wax or a chalk drawing instrument. I'll go with pastiche. I think I feel okay about that. Pastiche.
The correct answer is collage.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Collage.
Mm-hmm. All right, I get it. I get it.
I'm so sorry for you at home. Hey, look.
Or at work.
If you're listening right now, I just want to apologize. I'm really sorry.
Hey, sorry.
Wah, wah, wah.
So sorry.
Wah, 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 wah.
Speaking of music, got a Grammys question for you.
Ooh, Grammys for my mammies.
Did you watch the Grammys? Do you care?
Nope.
You don't care?
Not really.
Well, this is a question that is about the Grammys of yesteryear. Ooh. So did you ever care about the Grammys?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Well, this is a bit of trivia about the Grammys that I feel like as a quizmaster you should know.
Okay.
Maybe.
I'm not saying don't ask it.
Before Billie Eilish's sweep of the Big Four awards at this year's Grammys, that would be Song of the Year, Record of the Year,
Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And Best New Artist.
That's right.
Which was a question of my last week.
Okay. Only one other artist in history has achieved the same accomplishment. Do you know who that is?
I read that she was the first one.
No, somebody else did this in 1981.
1981.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There is more to the question how I read it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In 1981, for his self-titled album, as well as the song Sailing.
I'm really scared I'm going to fuck this up. Sailing takes me away. It's so funny because... I'm just going to have to say it.
Yeah.
Christopher Cross. Yes.
Very good. That's right.
It feels so wrong to say because his name is fucking Chris Cross. And yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Who the fuck the names their kid Chris Cross?
Yeah.
Applesauce. You're fucking setting your kid up for such a bullshit existence. Your fucking kid's name is Chris Cross. Stop. Who let you?
Speaking of kids' names, Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
There you go. They really did it.
Jesus Christ. Maybe Christopher Cross.
Maybe they didn't think about it. Maybe the parents just like not? Didn't. Well, his name's Christopher. We thought we'd just call him Christopher.
Oops. Christopher Cross. I didn't know that he did that.
Mm-hmm. 81.
Everything I read was she's the first person. Maybe she's the first.
Maybe woman. In 20 maybe years young, or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my just.
Yep. And Sam Smith almost did it. He had three out of those four. think he was nominated for all four, but he only won three of the awards a few years ago.
Here's your next question.
Mm-hmm.
Your last question of this round.
Mm-hmm.
The term Zerbert, are you familiar with this?
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
The term Zerbert for when you put your mouth on someone's skin and blow.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The term Zerbert was coined on what 1980s sitcom?
Hmm.
Some folks call it a raspberry.
Right. I'm familiar with that term.
My family always called it a Zerbert.
Okay.
I knew no other way.
Hmm. 80s sitcom. I'm tempted to say Roseanne, but I consider, even though I think it was on in the late 80s, I consider that more of a 90s sitcom. So 80s sitcom, we have, well, it's Perfect Strangers. We just talked about that. That was early 90s, though. Or was that 80s?
It was 80s to 90s.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, yeah, from looking up on the Wikipedia, it was like 86 to 93, yeah, or something like that.
What else do we got in the 80s? We've got Who's the Boss? We've got
Mona,
mm-hmm,
Jonathan, Angela, Samantha.
Were they giving out Zerberts on Who's the Boss? Zerbert. What a strange name. Like, I would expect that to come from like Mork and Mindy, but that's on the other side. I feel like that's the 70s, you know? It's like an alien. On my planet, that's how we kiss, you know, some kind of Morkism. Zerbert. Maybe it's British. Absolutely Fabulous. Remember that show?
Ab Fab. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I do. Every weirdo.
Darling,
I
got a Zerbert. He gave me a Zerbert, darling.
Every weirdo I knew.
Shaking a stick. Man, I don't know. It's not gonna be Perfect Strangers again. 80s sitcom. I guess I'll go with what was the one with Michael J. Fox? Where he was like the young Republican.
Alex P. Keaton.
Keaton. Not the name
Alexander.
Of the show. Alexander.
Alexander P. Keaton.
Alexandria. Alexandra.
Jonathan.
I keep wanting to make Ray Romano's daughter's name Alexandria. The city.
Jonathan.
Gregory.
Gregor.
Who's the boss? Who's the boss?
The correct answer is The Cosby Show.
Can't you see Bill Cosby saying, come over here and let me give you a Zerbert?
Oh, no.
Okay, let's not take that anywhere weird. I didn't mean anything weird. Oh, no. I just look over your face. You're just ashen.
I don't know. The Cosby Show, I just, again, in my mind, that's like, I guess, more 70s. Did that start in the 70s, or am I totally wrong?
I don't think so.
It's just an 80s show.
It was 80s, 80s.
Zerbert.
Zerbert.
Oh, boy.
Z-E-R-B-E-R-T. I wonder if Kyle's ever heard of a Zerbert. We'll have to ask her on break.
Yeah. Don't ask my wife about Zerberts. Based on what you told me where that came from.
I'm just going to give her one when I walk by.
Mark.
What's that called?
Terrible. I have a Frasier redemption question for you. Now, I know we've been talking about Frasier.
Frasier 2.
Lately.
Redemption.
Yeah. And okay. I'm hoping you get this. If not, you're going to have to turn in your Frasier fan card, I think.
Okay.
This is your last chance, I think.
Right.
I have to say.
Fair enough.
At least as far as this podcast is concerned. On Frasier.
By the way, just so we're clear, I have no problem turning in my Frasier fan card. That's fine.
All right. You don't want it, though? Never mind.
I mean,
you can
I'm
keep
okay
it
with
If you're okay it, with losing but... it, just keep it. Okay. On Frasier, what is the last name of Dr. Crane's radio producer, Roz?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't
I don't know why I keep writing these Fraser questions.
It's because you come over
from trivia. They're requested. Yeah,
you getting home.
Mm-hmm.
You throw making
some tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
You throw your Nickel City in the micro, heat it up real quick. You unbutton your shorts and you do the thing where you don't take your shoes off. You just try and kick it around your shoe, and you just kind of fling them. Mm-hmm. And then you pop open one of those note sodas that you got, and turn on the TV. Oh, baby, I hear them blues a-callin', toss salad and scrambled eggs. And a smile beams across your face.
Mostly accurate. That song does not play until the closing credits, that's true, yeah. They just have a little piano ditty.
Well, maybe they play them back-to-back, and you just caught the end of one episode, so you know you get the...
That's likely.
You get to see the next one up close. Right up from the start. Roz... I don't know why Gelman is coming to mind. Roz Gelman? Your head just dropped. Roz Stanley?
Man, you don't even have the right number of syllables.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just going to give you a point on those. You don't know it. You just don't know it.
I wonder if it's going to ring a bell when you tell me.
Get your card out.
All right. Here you go.
Doyle.
Roz Doyle. That does sound vaguely familiar. Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Time to take a break.
Yep.
We're coming back with some miscorrections.
Yep. And some no notes.
And some no notes.
And some no notes.
And some freaking questions.
Mm-hmm. Mark, are you ready for some missed corrections and no notes?
Of course. Miscorrections, no notes.
Okay.
No notes.
We have a no note here from proverbial lightkeeper Dylan about Maru-chan, mentioned in our last episode 82 with Greg, Nice Guys Trivia. Dylan writes, Maru-chan is actually the name of their mascot as well. There's a little round baby face at the left of their logo. That little guy is Maru-chan. So now you know.
Uh-huh.
Now you know that. Did we have a note from Mike, a Rumpelsnailedskin?
We certainly did. Yeah, he just had a tiny bit of a no note that he thinks, I didn't verify this, but he thinks that the Dutch East India Company that you asked about on the last episode was also the world's first corporation. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, a lot of firsts there.
Indeed.
They knew what was going on. Or they just said what was going on and made it happen.
Yeah.
Aaron Sullivan, she writes, not a correction really, but some sewing / textile nerd info for your brain pan. What a way with words.
Indeed.
In episode 80 or maybe 79, when Mark asked the question about the IKEA slogan, chuck out your chintz, Mark described chintz as something that was cheap or inexpensive. And while that's one definition that has evolved over time, the way IKEA meant it was by its other definition. Chintz is a type of fancy floral textile, and the term itself can also mean obscenely fancy or garish. I'll use the lobby of the Grand Floridian at Walt Disney World as an example. This might have helped you get the answer correct, because the idea behind their slogan was that IKEA is modernist and unfancy, and chintz had come back into popular use in furniture in the 70s and 80s. I didn't know that slogan, but I'd guess the answer while you were sussing based on that info.
That's fantastic. Also, yes. Aaron, get down here and be on an episode, will you?
Please.
For the love of Christ.
Yeah. And then we have a note here from proverbial lightkeeper Aaron. Aaron writes, small note on a comment made in the most recent pod, episode 82. To clarify, this is merely my understanding. I believe the disease referenced by Lee when someone consumes human tissue is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It is caused by an infected prion, misfolded brain protein, which basically causes dementia on steroids. The afflicted starts acting strangely, starts doing strange and saying things that don't make sense, and eventually family and friends step in and have them medically evaluated. The time span from diagnosis to death is typically around 6 months, in which they go from a person who is a little confused to completely bedridden and incommunicable. There are many theorized ways of contracting the disease, and exposure consumption of infected brain tissue is one of the theorized methods. It is extraordinarily rare and has been compared to the human version of mad cow disease. There are also worries that eating infected animal meat could lead to something similar, which is one of the reasons that the eating of deer meat when the deer displays symptoms of, quote, zombie deer disease is highly discouraged. It is so rare that all manners of contracting it are theories at best, which is why I want to emphasize greatly, as my father died of CJD on September 1st, 2016. If he had ever eaten something with a glass of Chianti, I think we would have found out some evidence by now. If there's a happy ending to this, it was that he died at home surrounded by family, holding his hands and telling him it was okay for him to let go. It was the best that we could do for him. Sincerely, sorry for the downer. I just heard the comment and thought, hey, I might have some insight on this thing. Thanks as always for the work that you put into the podcast. I'm fairly certain that if my dad had the chance, he'd have been a fan. Aaron, sorry for your loss.
Wow.
Yeah. And thank you for all that extra info.
That is heavy and intense. That's wow.
Yeah. And I had no idea that there were, you know, all these other alternative methods of contracting that. So again, thanks for writing in and sorry for your loss. If you'd like to write us with some of your own experiences, maybe some extra info that you know about, a missed correction, a rate my question, or maybe just a little no note, you can do so by writing to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or find us on social media.
Fantastic.
All right. Should we get into round two of trivia?
I would love that.
Okay. I'll kick us off with an animals question here.
Thank you.
What nocturnal creature found in Southeast Asia has large eyes and a toxin on their teeth, which it wipes on its young to protect from predators? Southeast Asian animal, large eyes, nocturnal, and has a toxin on its teeth that it wipes on its young to protect it from predators.
Big-eyed, one more time.
Nocturnal. Southeast Asia.
But you didn't say mammal or anything.
No. Nocturnal creature.
Creature.
Toxins on its teeth.
I know the toxins on the teeth wipes on its young to protect it.
Yes.
Great. Super. Does not help. When I think of big, at first I was thinking a lemur, but lemurs are in Madagascar because of the movie Madagascar.
Good,
toxins,
Mark.
On its teeth. Nocturnal animal. I'm going to say a sloth.
Wrong.
You're close because this creature does have slow in the name.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about here?
Nope.
The slow loris?
I've never heard of that before in my
life. You've never heard of a slow loris?
I've never heard of a slow loris.
Let me just pull up a little picture of one of these little slow lorises.
Is this thing going to be hideous?
No, they're cute.
Well, you were saying that. I thought maybe it was like a... Oh, okay. I've seen that thing.
Yeah, that's a slow loris, my man.
How do you spell that thing?
S-L-O-W. Slow. Loris. L O R I S.
Oh, okay.
Slow loris. Is that a rude name?
I guess.
Is it rude? I think it's rude.
If it's S L O W, then yes. It is.
Yeah, it is.
Is it S L O W?
Yeah, I mean,
is it two words?
Sloth is kind of a rude name. But for some reason, slow loris just sounds way worse to me than sloth.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I was thinking, it was like S-L-O-L-O-R-I-S, like one word. Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's rude.
Yeah. Why can't it just be the loris?
Stop being a dick.
Is there a normal speed
this
loris?
This thing is kind of fucked up.
What are you talking about? Because it's got toxins on its teeth.
It's got this thing where it's like looking at you kind of like fucking head half cocked. Like it's like trying to make a decision on what part of your body it's going to eat.
Yeah, well,
this
you don't,
one looks like it's got like pieces of fur missing.
You don't want to get it wet. Know. And maybe you don't want to feed it after midnight.
Maybe I haven't ever seen that thing before, but I thought I did.
Slow loris.
Speaking of illnesses,
mm-hmm.
An epidemic of the infectious disease diphtheria inspired what sporting event?
Whoa. I don't know.
Good.
Diphtheria. What is diphtheria?
What is
sporting event that's inspired by diphtheria. An epidemic?
Diphtheria is an infection caused by the bacterium Corynebacterium diphtheriae. Signs and symptoms may vary from mild to severe.
Bacterial infection. And then you get a sport out of it?
The neck may swell in part due to enlarged lymph nodes.
Okay, you need a large neck for the sport.
Hey, but don't worry, a form of diphtheria also exists. A form of diphtheria which involves the skin, eyes, or genitals also exists.
Oh.
So.
Good.
Complications may include myocarditis, inflammation of nerves, kidney problems, and bleeding problems due to low levels of platelets.
Not good.
No. Pretty bad stuff.
Sporting event.
Pretty ungood.
I just don't even like what sporting event would come out of it. So, bacterial infection. I don't know. A lot of sports were made a long time ago when people didn't know shit about shit. So maybe they were doing all sorts of weird stuff trying to fix this epidemic. Like, you had to run around these bases. Boom, baseball.
Boom. That's how you got
it. You got to fix your diphtheria, run around these bases. No. Boxing? You punch the diphtheria out of you.
Enough blood comes out.
I feel
out.
Like boxing is like so old, like wow. Tennis, you're just running around a lot. Like maybe that's good for you. Like sweat out the infection. It's not gonna be basketball. It's not baseball. Football. No. Tennis. Squash. I just don't know. I'll go with tennis.
You're very wrong.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just going to
wrong.
Throw in the old Towski.
It's known as the Great Race of Mercy. Diphtheria epidemic threatened a town called Nome. Their supply of antitoxin had expired, and the doctor there refused to use it, sent telegrams out looking for a fresh supply, and the nearest antitoxin was found in a little town called Anchorage. It was too cold, too windy to send anybody out, so what'd they send out?
Sled dogs. The Iditarod. Okay.
Is the correct answer.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. Thought for so a second maybe you're going with like a relay race or something, but
yeah. So okay. they said planes couldn't be used, ships would be too slow. So the governor at the time approved a route, and the 20-pound cylinder of serum was sent by train just before midnight on January 27th. It was passed to the first of 20 mushers and more than 100 dogs who relayed the package 674 miles. To Nome, Alaska. The dogs ran in relays an average of 31 miles each with no dog running over 100 miles.
Wow.
Isn't that pretty fucking killer?
Yeah.
So they run from Nome to Anchorage to remember that.
Nice.
History. One of the questions I had burning.
Yeah, that's good.
Couldn't
that's
wait to give it to you because I know you love that information.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Juicy bits.
What Cambodian revolutionary politician governed the nation as prime minister of the Democratic Kampuchea from 1976 to 1979?
3 years.
Mm-hmm. Democratic Kampuchea.
Not to be confused with Democratic Kombucha. What kind of revolutionary did you say?
Cambodian.
It's a holiday in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Just waiting for an answer.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have a feeling this is one, if you don't know it, it's you're going to hear the name and go, oh.
Give me the question one more time.
What Cambodian revolutionary politician governed the nation as prime minister of the Democratic Kampuchea from 1976 to 1979? I kind of hate the way that I wrote this question. Some of those words should probably be rearranged. What would you write?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Yeah. I mean, I would talk to my teammates, hopefully.
Right.
So I hate.
And I know history alone. Is, yeah, not your.
Yeah, I know that there favorite. Is a guy who is bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a bad guy or not.
Yeah, this is the world dictators quiz. Basically,
I'm going to say Pol Pot.
Okay.
Very you know, good. Here's my thing. I thought Pol Pot was older than 76 to 79. It kind of, I was thinking he was like 60s to 70s. So I felt like when you said 79, I was like, wow, that was like right up until I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What key was introduced in the Remington No. 2 typewriter in 1878. Hmm. What key was introduced?
Yeah.
In the No. 2 register, or type, I'm sorry, in the No. 2 typewriter in 1878.
They had the No. 1, and they were like, this typewriter is shit because we're missing a key.
What a fucking joke.
We need a new model.
What did they get wrong in that first one?
No space bar. Just one long string of characters. Work it out. It's like the ancient, you know, it's like reading Latin. There's no spaces. Does Latin have spaces?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I mean, modern Latin, but like back when they were like carving it in stone, did they put spaces in? I feel like maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably just miscorrection me, please, on this.
I'm going to look it up while you sus.
Okay. What key? 1878. Is it the ampersand? It says key, though. Hmm. So in a typewriter, there's no backspace, really. I mean, there is, but like it's like a... It's like a cover-up space more. It's like a X out. Because, you know, you can't lift the ink off the paper. So maybe it's something like that, like a backspace or a delete key. That would be an innovation that maybe you wouldn't need on the first model. A return, you probably need a return key on the first typewriter. On the Remington 1, as it were. I don't know if that's the first typewriter ever, but. What else do you have? Shift? Capitals? Maybe before that it was all capitals? And then the 2 had lowercase, so they added the shift key? Hmm. Could be something as simple as the tab key. Automated tab. Before you had to like move that thing around with your hands. You hit that key, boom, tabbed in. I don't know. I'm gonna go with. I just can't see it being called the delete key, because, you know, it's probably called like the error key or something like that. So I guess I'm gonna go with shift. I'm gonna go with shift.
Ding, ding, ding yourself.
Wow.
The number one Remington typewriter was all capital letters. It wasn't until the number two where they came out with the shift key where you could go from lowercase to uppercase. Good job.
I just sussed it.
What a fantastic fucking job.
I feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Look at what I've created.
Look what I've made.
Yeah.
Also, wow. So there were some, there was an era in Latin where they used a word divider, which was called an interpunct during the classical
cool
period.
Band name.
But for the most part, they didn't use it because they didn't need it. Just like we don't really, when you have a native language, you don't really need dividers. When you know one word from another, mm-hmm. you can pretty much deduce or suss what a sentence says
yeah.
by knowing what the words are and what the words mean. There won't be many sentences where, you know, you won't really get what's going on. You know what I mean?
Interpunct.
Yes.
Interpunct. Interesting.
Interpunct. Is this the last question?
Yes.
You're soaking in it was the tagline used for what name brand household product?
Well, I think it was my turn. But
was it?
It was my turn. Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. Damn, I switched it up on them.
Yeah.
Because I just soaking asked in you the question.
I was like, what am I soaking in right now before I ask this question? what household product? Two. You're soaking in it. You're soaking in it. What are you soaking in that it's you're buying? Question. You're buying it and you're soaking in it.
Your own pee-pee.
Bubbles? Bubble bath?
Dirty boy.
You're soaking in it. What else would you soak it in? It's got to be a bathing thing. Because it's not like you're soaking other stuff in it. You're soaking your dishes in it. That would be a really lame tagline. you're soaking in it. Or maybe it's a super soaker or some kind of like Nerf water football. Or a board game? Maybe is there a board game like what's that board game? Don't Break the Ice.
Oh yeah.
Ants in Your Pants. Don't Wet Your Pants. You combine those two games together. You get Don't Wet Your Pants. You're soaking in it. Super soaker. See, I feel like you'd want be like soak others. That like that's what you would want to market that with. You wouldn't want to be like, oh, you're soaking in it. Uh-huh. Better get yourself one of these super soakers and shoot back. Yeah, I don't know. The Nerf, like, water football thing, those kind of I don't even know what you would call those, like, what the official name of that is. Did you say the tagline was this for this product? Like, in the past tense?
Yes. Okay. It was the tagline.
Okay. Because I know bath bombs are really popular now, but I feel like that's a recent kind of popular interest. So I don't think it's like a Lush cosmetics thing or anything like that. This is a tough one. I don't know. It's good. This does not sound familiar to me at all. I guess I'll go with Super Soaker.
The correct answer is Palmolive dish soap.
Interesting.
Palmolive. The whole idea was that while you were doing your dishes, you're also helping your skin. You're soaking in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. You're helping your skin. That was like, was this like a medical claim they're making?
I think they were.
This sounds a little bit like a medical claim.
I don't know about a medical claim. I think it was
A beauty claim?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it was in the 1950s, I believe. Uh-huh. So the whole idea was, who's doing the dishes?
Right.
So, oh, with Palmolive.
I thought old ladies were wearing gloves back then, doing dishes.
Well, I mean, I think that's maybe part of the point was, hey, you don't have to. You know what I mean?
You're soaking in it.
You're soaking in it.
Hmm. Okay. Got a memes question, early internet question for you.
Okay.
Early internet, mid-internet, early internet for us, I'll say. Remember the Numa Numa dance video?
No.
You don't remember Numa Numa?
Nope.
Na-ya-hi, na-ya-ha.
I remember that song.
Right? You don't remember the kid dancing?
I don't think so.
To it? Oh. Well then. Well, anyways, okay. Maybe there's more to this question. You might still be able to suss. The Numa Numa dance video, one of the earliest viral videos on the internet, was first posted to which website, which will be celebrating its 25th anniversary this July?
Well, 25th anniversary. So it's 2020, mm-hmm. 2010, 2000. So 1995.
That's right, Mark.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I really started going online in 1997.
So this shit was up and running.
You said what kind of website? You said it was just uploaded to a website?
Yep. First posted to which website, which will be celebrating its 25th anniversary this July?
First posted to this website.
Mm-hmm. So the Numa Numa dance video was not from 95. That was much later. But the website that it was first posted to will be celebrating its 25th anniversary this July.
Gotcha. Tough question.
No one got this right, am I sure? It's the last question of the second round.
No one got it right.
Is now, that in itself is a bit of a hint.
Place where people upload their own videos? Is it the kind of place that people on the website look for stuff and upload stuff that they find online? '95, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you could eliminate some big ones just based on that.
Well, again, I don't really know what kind of website I'm looking for. You know, you have a website like Yahoo or something where like they may have uploaded it first for some reason, and that might be an old site. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking of websites that have just been around since, you know, the beginning of fucking the dawn of time or whatever. I wonder how old Something Awful is.
About to celebrate its 25th anniversary in July.
Big 25. Is it a website that users can upload stuff to?
Yes.
Okay.
I can give you a final hint.
I'm going to say 4chan.
Wrong. Do you want one last hint?
Sure.
The site's founder and CEO is named Tom Fulp. Does that ring any bells?
Mm-mm.
No? Newgrounds.
Newgrounds is still around?
Yes, it is. It weathered the dot-com bubble burst Newgrounds. In the 2000s and still going, yeah.
Newgrounds. I used to frequent Newgrounds quite a bit for a while there with their...
It's mainly a Flash site.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Flash has kind of fallen to the wayside, you know?
Are they not Flash anymore?
I think there's still Flash content on there. Apple basically, at the height of iPhone, decided that it was not going to put Flash on its phones because there was huge security. Huge. I mean, there was known security flaws in it, basically, that I don't think Adobe ever really came back from. They kind of gave up on Flash after that, you know? They're like, fine, you win. Like, Apple was like, you don't want Flash. You want HTML5. That's what you want, you know? So.
Doesn't this sound good?
Yep. But, Newgrounds, I think they still have some Flash content and everything else.
They had a series called FDA, Fuck That Ass, where they'd have all these songs, and I used to watch those. And I think Newgrounds may have also had, that was 3brain.com that had Hypothermia and all those songs. Those are classics. But, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
All right. For round two.
All right, and now take our last break.
Yep.
We are going to come back, and we're just going to go ahead and do final questions.
Right. We're back with some final questions ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Aren't you ready to go, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Ready to go.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You know what your category is? Inspector Gadget.
Oh, really?
Yep. I got an Inspector Gadget
question
for you.
What animated character is known in Italy as Topolino? T-O-P-O-L-I-N-O.
Animated character? Is that what you said? Topolino. So I'm just trying to think of like breaking it down. I don't really know Italian. Top hat? Like the Cat in the Hat? Not animated though, really. I mean, there's an animated version, but that's more of an illustrated character.
I think I'm pronouncing it right. It might be Topolino or something.
Topolino.
I don't know. T-O-P-O-L-I-N-O.
This is like an Anaka Anoka thing.
Maybe.
Topolino.
I'm telling you how to spell
Topolino.
It.
Topolino. I like Topolino. Animated character. Mark, I just don't know. I just have no idea, basically. I like that you met me with a cartoon character question though.
I tried to come back.
Is it Mickey Mouse? Mickey is probably so popular that he has no alternate names. Let me retract that. Is it Topolino, animated character? Maybe it's like a Disney character, like that's like not that's not Mickey, like Aladdin, or what if it was like Bambi? Like took it instead of making her Bambino. I have no idea. I have no fucking idea. I'll go with the dragon from Pete's Dragon.
The dragon from Pete's Dragon?
Yeah.
I will say you said the name.
Oh, my gosh. Is it Mickey Mouse? Little Topolino?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
That's correct. It is Mickey Mouse.
I mean, I don't deserve that. I actually got it wrong.
You did say dragon from Pete's Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Mickey Mouse's name in Italy.
What? That's crazy.
I know.
All right.
Good job.
Mark, in Inspector Gadget, what is the name of the boss that typically gives Gadget his missions?
No. I was hoping you'd ask for the name of Dr. Claw.
That's what everybody wants with an Inspector Gadget question. That's what everybody remembers. But
I remember Penny, I remember Brain, I remember Dr. Claw.
Exactly. This is a character.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Mm-hmm. But this character, is in the beginning of almost every episode.
Yeah. Mustache.
Gives Gadget his mission.
Mustachioed, brown hair. I can see him.
And Gadget says his name. Which is what?
Chief.
No, people wrote down Chief. But Chief is not a name. Chief is a title. And they were mad. They were mad that I did not accept Chief. Question asks for the name.
Yeah. No, I'd be understanding. I would write down Chief hoping that you would give me points. And then I would hear my total and I'd go...
Somebody did get the right name, though, so...
Really?
Yeah.
That's concerning. Chief... whenever I say Chief, I think of Wiggum.
Chief Keef, the Chicago rapper.
Hit Chicago rapper. Okay. Chief. I don't know. Chief. Is it a first or last name?
What kind of question is that?
Just throw me something.
Last name. Last name.
Chief Stevens. Just at least let me go down the right arrow. Give me a chance to be wrong in the rightest way possible.
All right. It starts with a Q.
Is it Chief Quimby?
Yes, that's right. Chief Quimby. Since you let me have a second go.
Wow.
Chief Quimby.
As soon as you said Q, I fucking knew it.
Yep.
And I didn't even know I knew it.
It was right there.
As a matter of fact, I was like, is it Quimby? Because like, why is that name in here?
Yep.
Chief Quimby.
Wow. You could have guessed any Q name, Quail Man.
Yep.
Nope. That's from Doug.
It was.
Yep. Quimby.
Okay.
Well. All right. Well, we're exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
And it's time to say goodnight.
It is very much time to say goodnight.
You might be listening to this in the morning, but we're saying goodnight.
Tell the people.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm Quizmaster Lee.
I'm Quizmaster Mark.
You can check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar. Wednesdays, catch Mark Davis hosting trivia at No Nonsense. At Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m. in Cape Coral. Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7 p.m. Don't forget, February 29th, 80s Music Trivia, number 3. March 28th, Quizmania at number 3. Wrestling Trivia. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy.
Just go through it.
Tommy and Tim from Pat's Garden Service. Thank you, guys. Thank you to our team captains, David Holbrook. Thank you, Aaron, Rachel, Fletcher, and Kristen. Thank you to our proverbial light keepers, Manu, Mo, Matthew, Luke, and Nicole, as well as Spencer, the chef, Hank, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Aaron, Elise, the Two Girls Scissoring Podcast, Brina, Carly, Chris, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and last but not least, Gil.
It's Gil.
And also to our Rebel Snailskins, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael J. You guys are going to be getting some new nicknames soon for the new month.
Oh, yes, Michael Chrysanthemum and Michael January. I got to think of something new for the February.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be February when this goes up, right?
Oh, yeah, shoot.
So, that's why I was like, coming soon.
Yep, yeah, I'll think of something.
We'll get you something. But not here. It's 1 a.m. now.
Not now.
If you'd like to rate us with a Rate My Question or Miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at nononsensetrivia. Also find us on
Michael Jelly Beans and Michael Chocolates. Mm. Because candies, because it's February.
Oh. All right. And find us on Facebook. We got a group that is bopping and bumping.
Yes.
Loving it.
So much cool shit happening there.
Yeah. All right. And don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars.
Only, please. And Lee, before we go out, let's answer Katie's question real quick. What is your all-time favorite scary movie and why?
Ooh. Let's get that next time.
You want to get it next time?
Yeah,
you want to put some time into it?
Yes. Because I've been thinking about it. I actually don't even have a good answer.
I don't either. Okay,
but,
so good.
Yeah.
I was gonna try and put something together.
We'll hit this. Yeah.
All right, Katie, we're gonna answer it next time.
Yep.
All right.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.